Figaro is a sequel to Barber of Seville. So you may remember the principal characters from that piece. Figaro is a barber and a rogue who helps Count Almaviva woo the charming young Rosina. Fast forward to Marriage of Figaro, in which we find that Almaviva and Rosina are long married, Figaro is working full-time for the Count, and is himself about to marry someone we haven't met before, Susanna. The Count has given Figaro and his fiancée a room adjoining his own, and when the opera opens, we find Figaro measuring the room to see if the bed will fit. You can hear him counting out measurements and not really listening to Susanna, who's trying to get him to look at her new hat.
Cinque. Dieci. Venti. Trenta. Trentasei. Quarantatré.
Figaro is not the only one who has not been listening. Susanna is surprised and put out to find that they're supposed to live in this room. But it's so convenient to the Count and Countess, Figaro points out. What could be your objection? Susanna's objection, of course, is that it's so convenient to the Count and the Countess. In Barber of Seville, Rosina's guardian objects to Almaviva mostly because they are rivals for the young girl's affections. But he also believes that the Count is a womanizer. Well, apparently the old fool was right. Susanna is at first embarrassed to admit that the Count has been chasing her. So when Figaro sings about how convenient the room will be when the Count rings the bell, Rosina repeats the tune, but in a more ominous minor key.
Due passi da quella puoi gir. Vien poi l'occasione che vuolmi il padrone. Che vuolmi il padrone. Don don, don don, in tre salti lo vado a servir.
Response, besides ew, is to think badly of the Count. But Beaumarchais had a bigger axe to grind. He was not just demonizing one Count. He was going after the entire nobility. Susanna explains to Figaro that the Count is interested in his feudal rights and that the music teacher Don Basilio is working towards this end. To Beaumarchais' audience, this idea of a droit de seigneur, or lord's right, was a familiar theme. Originally, it meant that the landowner got to do everything before his serfs. He got the first pick of the fields, the first game animals from the forest, and the first money they earned. But by the 18th century, it was generally believed that Middle Age custom also gave the landowner the first night with all virgin girls on the estate. This is now thought to have been a myth, but whether it was historically true or not is irrelevant. 18th century playgoers believed it was true, so to them, Almaviva's interest in Susanna was not an example of sexual harassment or bad employee relations. It was Exhibit 1 in the case against all class systems everywhere. The story of Marriage of Figaro was revolutionary to its core. Susanna answers a call from the Countess, leaving Figaro to plot revenge. "If you want to dance, Mr. Nobleman," Figaro sings sarcastically, "I'll play the tune."
Se vuol ballare, signor contino, se vuol ballare, signor contino, il chitarrino le suonerò, il chitarrino le suonerò, sì, le suonerò, sì, le suonerò. Se vuol venire nella mia scuola la capriola le insegnerò. Se vuol venire nella mia scuola la capriola le insegnerò, sì, le insegnerò, sì, le insegnerò. Saprò, 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 ma piano, 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 piano. Meglio ogni arcano dissimulando scoprir potrò.
Literally, Figaro doesn't say, "I'll play the tune," but "I'll play the guitar." You heard in that excerpt that the violins all pluck their strings, instead of bowing them, to sound more like a guitar. Figaro and the Count are not the only characters still around from the old days of Barber of Seville. Rosina's guardian, Dr. Bartolo, is still mad that the Count and the barber stole Rosina from him. When Marcellina shows Bartolo a contract by which Figaro borrowed money from her, he agrees to help her. Marcellina wants to use the contract as leverage to prevent Figaro's marriage to Susanna, and to get Figaro for herself. Bartolo indulges in a spiteful revenge aria, convinced that he will finally win out over the barber. The revenge aria was an established form in Mozart's day, though usually found in tragic opera serias, not comedies. That said, the revenge aria best known by contemporary audiences comes from another comedy, Rossini's Barber of Seville. Rossini has the music teacher Basilio sing La Calunnia as he contemplates what he is going to do to a younger Figaro and Count Almaviva. Now, Rossini's opera did not premiere until 1816, and Calunnia makes direct reference to the Mozart aria for Bartolo.
Thank you.
You can imagine that Marcellina and Susanna are not fond of each other. Before we move on to the meat of the act, these two have a little tête-à-tête in which each tries to cut the other with seeming politeness. Marcellina salutes Susanna as the Count's little beauty, causing Susanna to call Marcellina the love of all Spain. Your merit, your position, Marcellina defers. Your age, Susanna answers. You can guess who wins. Everyone in this house is plotting something, but at least Susanna, Figaro, Almaviva, and Marcellina are only pursuing one love at a time. The page Cherubino is in love with, and chasing, every skirt in the building, or maybe every petticoat. Cherubino tells Susanna he's been given notice by the Count, who caught him alone with Barbarina. This is news to Susanna, who thought the pubescent page was head over heels in love with the Countess. I can't help myself, Cherubino admits. Every woman I see sets my heart aflutter. When Cherubino catches his breath, you may notice his voice hasn't changed. He's played by a girl, making Cherubino the most famous trouser role in opera. Cherubino is understandably afraid of the Count, and when he hears his voice, the page hides. Almaviva has come to woo Susanna, so instead of Cherubino being put in a compromising position, he ends up overhearing the Count incriminating himself with Susanna. The Count is in turn forced to hide when he hears Basilio coming. The music teacher, Basilio, tells Susanna the latest gossip, that she is herself carrying on an affair with Cherubino. Susanna hotly denies it, but Basilio says he's only repeating what everyone else is saying. He's delighted when the now infuriated Count reveals himself. Almaviva angrily recalls how only yesterday he found Barbarina's door locked. Suspicious, he searched the room and found Cherubino hiding under the table. As the Count remembers the event, he repeats the action. And who does he discover but the very same Cherubino in the very same position? Ah, well, Basilio asks philosophically, what can you expect? Così fan tutte le belle. All beautiful women are like that. You recognize the words, and Mozart recycled the accompanying tune when he wrote the opera Così fan tutte 4 years later. Notice also that this is the fault of the women, not Cherubino. Susanna tries to defend Cherubino by explaining that he had only come to her to ask her to intercede for him with the Count. The Count isn't buying it, but he has to hold his tongue when Figaro comes in with the boys and girls of the estate. The barber has his own trick to play. He has come with the village peasantry to thank Almaviva for renouncing his medieval rights. The Count can only graciously accept their thanks, but when Figaro asks him to perform his marriage on the spot, Almaviva puts him off. He has an even better answer to Susanna's request that he forgive Cherubino. Instead of banishing the young page, he will reward him by granting him an army commission. Cherubino is horrified, but his best ally, Figaro, has no objection to sending away the troublesome page, and the act ends with Figaro's sarcastic congratulations that we heard at the beginning of the commentary.